We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Do you consider Mitchell Trubisky's performance against Green Bay a turning point in the season? Can he duplicate it in the playoffs?
I do believe it was a turning point in his season. He played that first game and he was overthrowing everything and he came back and he just got himself under control. We keep waiting for Mitch to start bringing a team back. Wait till you get in the fourth quarter and you're down a touchdown. Can he run down the field? He might not have to. It might be more a question of him not putting them in a negative position. That defense can hold teams under 17 points. You're not asking a ton out of Mitch. You'll scheme up the offense. I think the Bears would be a really hard out, provided Mitch just does what he did in that game. Nothing spectacular, but nothing to hurt you.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Gordon Whitmire, God bless him, kind enough to get up and come in. Our man covering the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times.
If you look locally at recent history with Scott Boras, look at Chris Bryant. His last 0-3 pre-arbitration contract, he beat the record by $50,000, $100,000. It was symbolic as much as anything. And then his first year of arbitration, he broke the record by like $100,000. Again, symbolic. Bryant's not coming back as a free agent. I think you came to terms with that very early on in the process, maybe even before he was brought up to the big leagues. This idea that the likelihood is he won't sign because of his agent, because of who he is. He's going to get one shot at that really big multi-year contract.
He's Gordon Whitmire. We're going to get into this. He just predicted Chris Bryant doesn't sign a contract in Chicago.
Wow.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David out today, and Gordon Whitmire from the Chicago Sun-Times kind enough to sit in, and we've been talking about all of it. Obviously, Matt Nagy was on with us yesterday, and he made the rounds, and he believes that Eddie Jackson and Aaron Lynch will be back from injury before the season is over. He doesn't believe they're out for the year, which is good news, especially with Eddie Jackson probably going to the Pro Bowl, probably going to be announced today. A lot of big plays this year from him, and you'd like to have your Pro Bowl safety back for the playoffs, Gordon.
So you would definitely like to sit him for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, he probably needs the rest, but you don't want to worry about the ankle. But when it comes to the business of winning, you need him to be a part of it. The Saints came back last night and beat the Panthers 12-9, and that gives them a real stranglehold on that top spot in the NFC through the playoffs. The Bears still could catch the Rams, but it looks like that is going to be more difficult to catch the Saints for the number one spot, but the Bears do have something to play for. And the second all-time coach QB combination is now Sean Payton, former Spare Bear, and Drew Brees, former Purdue quarterback. I don't know. Is that local? They are only behind the winning combination of one Bill Belichick and some guy called Brady. Pretty interesting to see those guys do as well as they have done, and obviously they won a Super Bowl. So if they end up the number one seed, the last time they were, right, they won the Super Bowl. They were number one seed that year. Manny Machado in town. He was here yesterday visiting the White Sox, and he's heading to the Yankees next and then the Phillies before the week is over. It doesn't work that way anymore where you don't let the guy leave town. Make him sign the contract. Make sure you get it done. This is a different reality, and he's going to listen to all comers, and he'll try to. There's also, I heard there's a mystery team. I don't know who it is, the mystery team.
There's a mystery, there was a mystery owner at the winter meetings, too, who was supposedly flying in and meeting with Harper. There's always a mystery team, right?
Yeah, why? Why can't? Why must it be covered in this mystery? Why can't we just have an open conversation about it?
talk to the agents.
All right. There's a mystery team on Machado, and there's a mystery owner that was at the meetings. I like it. The Bulls are now 7-24. They couldn't come back from the 20-point deficit at halftime. They were down 19 against San Antonio and came back, but Oklahoma City, well, the Thunder was still upset about losing to the Bulls in the Jim Boylan era, and Westbrook with the triple double. The game had some pushing and shoving, and things got a little bit out of control in the third quarter. Let's take a listen.
Came with a touch, and then we got Dunn pushing Westbrook, and a punch thrown by Jeremy Grant, and then Grant and Rolo are tangled up, and Rolo wants to go after Jeremy Grant. And now the coaches have come on the floor, and Steven Adams now and Lopez are having a few words.
Oh, we're going to have a long replay on this. This is not good.
This is not good at all. And it started, Bill, with a little of Cameron Payne, and then Dunn came in, and then all of a sudden Jeremy Grant threw a punch, did he not?
Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for the highlight. The fight was the highlight. Jim Boylan said he'd get his team. He'd put some fight in him. And Jim Boylan is the guy who ran across the court and grabbed Grant around the neck and pulled him away. So he jumped in. And just fascinating to see this. Robin Lopez, he is the guy who's worth the price of admission in the post-game locker room. Let's take a listen to his thoughts on his ejection.
I felt kind of like I got, twisted or flipped a little bit. I somehow ended up on that bench there. And then, I don't know. After that, something happened.
What did Chris show you in that moment, standing up for himself the way he did?
KD didn't show me anything new, KD, that's a tough guy. I respect the hell out of KD. I love playing with KD.
What about the ejection, Ross?
You need the ball to shoot the free throws.
You're just handing the ball.
Flawless, right? I thought the refs had done enough, and I wanted to alleviate some of their work. They had an abnormally large workload for the first half of that quarter. I wanted to help them out, ease their pain a little bit, ease their burden. And I guess not everybody saw it the same way.
Robin Lopez, Stanford man, wants to ease the burden.
I thought the refs had done enough, and I wanted to alleviate some of their work.
Hilarious. Very funny. Jabari Parker stayed at the hotel with stomach issues. That's the story anyway.
That's been a season-long thing.
I don't think he has the stomach for playing for Jim Boylan.
I want to see Boylan's post-game video about how proud he is in the culture building from the headlock.
Jim Boylan probably loved that, right? I mean, right up his alley. They showed some fight, and that's important. We haven't talked about the Blackhawks placing a Corey Crawford on IR. It means that he'll miss at least the next four games, the Predators in town tonight. But it also means, I don't know what it means.
He's got to step away. He probably shouldn't have come back in the first place.
He missed 8 months the last time he had a concussion.
We know so much more about this now. I mean, it's only scratching the surface what we actually know, but we know so much more than we ever used to. And this stuff is so serious. He's got a family. He's made his money. And even if you decide to just get really, really sort of coarse about this, it's not like they're playing for anything either.
Sure.
He's got to step away.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are it's just been a terrible season. I guess highlighted, can you say that, by Joel Quenneville's firing? And again, I don't mean it as a highlight. I just mean that's where you're at, where that is – as dark a thing to happen as anything in town. They lost five in a row, and they fired the three-time Stanley Cup winning coach, and they came back and wound up losing eight in a row shortly thereafter. So I don't know what to make of the Blackhawks or where they're at, and they believed coming in that they were a playoff team, and certainly you lose Corey Crawford, and not that he was playing great, but he was their starting goalkeeper. We saw what happened with the goalie last year and how they played when he went down, and now they weren't playing very well with him, and now it's just another blow to them. So we'll see what happens moving forward. If they seem to be in rebuild mode. We'll see who's traded, who they can get rid of, and all of that stuff moving forward. It just
maybe
the glory days are over.
You know, maybe this will add some clarity to what they need to do too. You know,
it's true.
At this point, you know, just I won't say completely blow it up, but definitely overhaul this thing. And maybe you were looking at tweaks or regrouping before this. Now just redo the whole thing.
I want to get back to Manny Machado being in town yesterday, because you've written that you think he'll wind up with the White Sox. I think what's interesting about the White Sox, and when they made their pitch to him, one of the things they can say is they can reinforce to him how much they want him, to the point where they were willing to trade for him. That was one of the big stories. There was a point there where they were, and it didn't make a lot of sense. He was going into a contract year, but they were so anxious to get him on their roster that they were willing to give up some young players to get him in order to convince him to stay with them. And obviously he ends up going to the Dodgers, and they end up going to the World Series. And you never know what a guy's after, what he wants. They got his brother-in-law in town so he could live down the street from his sister if he chose to do so. And I love the back page of the Sun-Times, which Won't You Be My Neighbor. They've got Yonder Alonso.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
It's nice,
a beautiful day for a neighbor.
They had him actually come out and sing the song.
Could you
You're just missing the sweaters.
Yeah.
It's a neighborly day in this beauty world.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, they've geared up for this for years now. They've got as much payroll flexibility as just about anybody in the game. And every team in baseball saw this free agent market coming, these two players coming, and those who weren't already in a competitive window were getting their payrolls in place to make strong pitches. And the White Sox were right near the front of the line on that. So they've had their eye on him for years. I'm sure they've had their pitch in place for at least months. And it sounds like they made a pretty strong pitch to him too. So we'll see what the Phillies come up with. But
they had Jerry. They put him in a room with those people. And they had Jerry come in, and he was holding these two things. He set him down. Forget it. That was the Harper pitch. All right, we'll get back to your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall. We've got Gordon Whitmire on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7. The Score.
We're definitely very close. You know, we live three blocks away from each other here in Miami. And I think it would be very, very nice to also be neighbors, obviously, in the south side. So I know he's very excited for me. His whole family is very excited for me. And we feel like, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Gordon Whitmire, kind enough to sit in today, and that is the voice of Yonder, lies the castle of my father, Alonso. That's an old... I guess that's a false... Did you know that? You ever hear that before? That's like some... Tony Curtis played some role where he had a line like that in a movie with, you know, a Brooklyn accent, and it's a famous...
Dude, how old are you?
It's not true. No, I'd like the movies. I didn't know Tony Curtis. That's not true.
We're not really going to get much into that.
But but he never said it. But that is still what I think of when I hear Yonder. I don't know why. but Yonder Alonso is now with the White Sox and happens to be the brother-in-law of Manny Machado. And what a wonderful thing to go out and make a trade for a guy, if indeed you just did it in order to recruit his brother-in-law, who they've been trying to get for a while. I mean, what would be wrong with that?
If they really want him, go try to get Albert Almora from the Cubs.
Yeah, they're like childhood best buds, right?
They grew call up themselves cousins.
They call themselves cousins, but they're not. Yeah, but they – what was it – Almora's dad had a big hitting cage in the backyard or something? Was that?
Yeah, he had a whole workout facility. He had a – I was there after he got drafted. I went out there, and he had one of those, you know, those tractor trailer tires that he would have him flip over and over again across the yard. He had a chain that I don't know how many hundreds of pounds it weighed that he would have him drag across the yard. And he had a rope hung from the highest tree that he would climb. This was his workout. He never lifted weights. It was all natural core work and just natural upper and lower based on this stuff and a hitting cage.
And Machado did it too, right? That's the idea.
He would
go over to his house and they would hang out together, work out, and hit. They hit 24/7, right?
They were on the same teams as little kids.
Right.
And
the Cubs apparently not interested in him anyway. They're bringing back. I did think at one point if Addison Russell was leaving, it would make sense to try to get a player like that. In fact, I thought it made more sense to go get him than it did to get Harper. And I know that Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant were on all these teams together growing up in Vegas, and they hang out together and they send different things and the wives are friends. But I always wondered how close they really were as opposed
to. Yeah, I think that's developed more since they both got into professional baseball.
Right.
I don't think they were all that tight growing up.
They don't call themselves cousins.
No.
Crowley wants to check in. Crowley is on the north side. Hey, Crowley, how are you?
I'm doing good, but Gordo, if you're going to be doing the morning shift, you can't wake me up with news that Brian ain't coming back. That's shocking news in the morning.
Crowley, how are you?
Good.
What are you doing up so early?
A couple of weeks. I got to work. I got to pay for all these tickets and stuff, man. But, when I heard you say that, my question for you here is, taking a look, let's say that Mr. Ricketts says, you know what, I don't care what it takes, I want to sign Bryant. Is that a possibility? We got the TV contract money coming, or is there something more where Bryant is still kind of bitter about the 2015 opening day roster? I mean, if Ricketts wants him and Ricketts is willing to pay, is that the possibility of him sticking around?
Oh, I think that's a possibility. Probably. Yeah, no doubt. Sure, he has not forgotten being held back as a rookie because, for one thing, honestly, he felt like he was lied to, basically. They told him going into camp, you will have an opportunity to win a job, and that was never really true. You can't fault him for it. I mean, it was a good management decision, but that's what they told him, and he did everything that he could have done to earn that job and didn't get it. But if they get to the end of this and the Cubs are offering top dollar to bring him back, sure, why wouldn't he come back? I mean, they would have as much of a chance as anybody, but that's also not the way they operate. Given how old he'll be, and if he's still highly productive at that point, there's going to be some teams potentially. We've seen some weird things in a free agent market the last couple of years, but potentially you could have somebody throwing money at him, and that's not what the Cubs are going to do. They're not going to overpay for him, I would not imagine.
I'm curious. We have a texter saying the White Sox need to immediately trade for Albert Almora Jr. Apparently didn't realize how close they were offering. He's offering Tim Anderson for Almora. That way you could cut Addison Russell. I don't think.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and he was the first draft pick of that group, and they do believe in him. And I wonder your opinion of him, because I felt that if they gave him more at bats and gave him enough of an opportunity, I think he's a pretty damn good player.
I think he's right on that brink. Now, I thought going into last season, because of what he brought you in center field, and with John Jay cycling off the roster, that it would be a natural just to put him out there and leave him out there. And the way he started off when he got an opportunity to play, it sure looked like that's where it would head, that it might head that way. And it sort of did. I mean, he got more playing time than they probably projected by the time we got to midseason, and people were saying he needs to play every day. He almost was playing every day, but he did tail off, and there were some issues against some of the right-handers. But I'll say this, you talk about platooning guys. Right-handed hitters, against the lefties. Right-handed hitters grow up hitting against right-handers. That's not the issue that it is oftentimes with lefty on lefty. So at some point, I do think you have to send him out there every day. If he starts off this season, this next season, the way he did last season, and is performing a month or two into the season, I think that'll be a turning point for him, and I think that he should be considered deserving of a regular spot in that lineup.
The Orioles did officially hire and introduce Brandon Hyde yesterday. I think everyone knew that was coming, but there is an opening now for a bench coach with the Cubs. We've seen
second year in a row
a lot of hires for the Cubs. We don't know who's doing the hiring, whether the manager has a big say in that or if that's brought from on high. And there's an old saying in professional sports, which is don't hire your replacement. Make sure that that you are with somebody on your staff.
Are you talking about David Ross?
I'm talking about whomever. Does Joe want David Ross? Does David Ross want the job? We've heard other names mentioned, other former Cubs mentioned. Who's going to be hired, and could they potentially take his job?
If David Ross wants that job, he can have it. I think that's the issue. He retired, young kids at home, to spend more time with the family. And I think that's still the case. So he's already a part of that front office, and they were going to try to have him around the team, around the clubhouse a little more often this year.
Dustin's going crazy.
It's just the biggest pile of BS in the history of mankind. This is like the guy, the hot piece of garbage that coaches Ohio State. You know, he quit Florida. He couldn't handle the stress of the SEC, right? So he had to quit because he's going to go watch his girls play volleyball. Fine, good. Go. Oh, but then what did he do? Oh, then he became an analyst for the Four Letter Network, right? He was gone 4 days a week from home watching tape. He was barely around.
That's okay? Your opinion.
I want David Ross to be the bench coach of the Chicago Cubs. But don't hide behind wanting to hang out with your kids at home.
He wanted to hang out with his kids. He did Dancing with the Stars, and then he did ESPN.
He was busy.
I believe he wrote a book or something.
He was busier than he would have been being on the road with the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm with you. But this is where we are, and the indications I'm hearing are that he's not going to take that job.
Who will take it? You know.
Well, DeRosa. They talked to DeRosa too. Of course, he's making more money than anybody over there, so he's not taking it. And I think they're going to start to look internally and look at some other guys.
Does Joe have a say?
It's going to be a group effort.
I mean, seriously.
This is an organizational decision.
I gotcha.
What about Ibanez? That name's been popping up for a couple of years.
Ibanez would be ideal. And by the way, he's well-liked, known, and respected by all parties, including Joe.
Oh, that's good. It'd be nice to have Joe with the voice.
And he would be outstanding. I know him. I covered him a little bit over the years.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Gordon Whitmire, kind enough to sit in. And I'm fascinated by your connection earlier in the show, Gordon, of the Bears reminding you of the 2015 Chicago Cubs and maybe the team that arrived a year early. It's interesting because everybody wants to, you know, we have all sorts of people around here trying to pat themselves on the back for thinking the Bears were ready to break through. I got to be honest with you, I felt all along that the quest this year was for mediocrity, to just get to 500, to just be an average team. In the NFL, there's not a huge difference between 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. If you can get into that mix, you can steal your way into the playoffs and you can be a part of the postseason. I just felt all along that maybe the Bears, you know, given how bad they had been...
Going 7-9.
No. being in last place in the division for four straight years, it was time to step up. And I wasn't ambitious enough to think that they could win the division. And again, I think that part of that comes from the idea that that the Khalil Mack trade hadn't happened yet. But I thought, wow, if they can get to respectability, that would be a really big jump for them. And then next year, you got the third year for the quarterback. You got the fifth year for the general manager. You got the second year for the head coach. Maybe that's where they finally make their move. And obviously, they're early.
Doesn't that sound a lot like going into 2015 with the Cubs when you had the first-year manager who, in his case, he was a bigger name, but similar personality. And then you had young players. You were anticipating Chris Bryant was going to come along. You had Kyle Hendricks, who showed a little bit on the mound, and you had Arrieta, who had, I think he won 10 games that year with an ERA around 2.5 the year before, and you had Rizzo making noise. Rizzo making all-star teams and making noise coming out of 2014 that we've turned a corner. And people from afar probably didn't see that. Well, even as far as I sat, maybe didn't see that.
Yeah.
But then they signed Lester.
Yes. changed everything, didn't
and,
it?
And it changed everything more than we thought.
Did it give credibility to their program?
Absolutely.
How did it? Did it change the players internally? I mean, listen, Lester has been unbelievable. You know that. I mean, you sit here and you talk about great signings for teams. It was a symbolic signing. It was also a guy they knew, and it's a guy that's outperformed his contract, even though it was a massive contract.
No question. And part of that is knowing him and knowing how he might respond to it, both in terms of, you know, psychologically. It's a lot of guys that get that first big long-term contract don't perform well, and some of that psychologically gets in their head. And, you know, pitchers are high risk by definition, and knowing that he could probably continue to evolve even if lost some velocity or lost some stuff because of the type of a pitcher that he is, and that turned out to absolutely be the case.
You know, it's fascinating to me because I look at this Cubs team, that Cubs team and this Bears team, and I think football is a little bit different, and I think that, you know, it's obviously a much more physical sport, and you are either the aggressor or the pursued. And you're at a point now, we saw it with the Cubs, where they arrived early, and then the next year they were still the aggressor. And now they're more the hunted. They're more no people doubt. Are trying to, you know, because you win, people come after you and all that stuff. I think what's really fascinating about them is that they've kind of zigged where everyone's zagging. They managed to bring back the defensive coordinator. They managed to add to that mix. And when we talk about it, everybody kind of limits themselves to the Khalil Mack trade. And that, no doubt, was a monster of a deal and really the defining move of the season. And, you know, you were going into a season where you were left short at a position. And that's happened a lot in the Ryan Pace era. You just had one position. It was once the wide receiver position. Maybe it was a kicker spot, certainly offensive line issues before. But this year they were going in and they, you know, well, can Leonard Floyd be the pass rusher? Then you get a Hall of Fame guy at the height of his ability who is one of the best edge guy in the league, if you're not looking at Denver. There's two of them. He is unbelievable. And it answers, it fills in a hole, and it makes them different. But they also drafted a linebacker with their first pick. And we don't talk about Roquan Smith, and he had, I think, 12 tackles the other day. And how many of them were solo? A ton of them were solo. I mean, they added a couple more things to an already top 10 defense. That's going to make a huge impact when everybody else in the league is trying to work their offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're looking at this offense and thinking it's going to grow as is. And if you just keep that defense just as stout and keep adding depth to it, and then that's a recipe for winning for a long time.
312-644-6767. And it better be, because of course they don't have a first round draft pick next year, and they don't have one the year after, and they're short on some of the secondary picks. I think, what do they pick, third round is their first pick next year, which is fine. We're not arguing about the value of the players, but it just means that you're, you know, going to have to figure out how to improve, and usually that means within the roster. Let's try Bill. Bill is in Montgomery. Bill, you're on with Mully and Gordon.
How you doing today?
Good. You?
Above average, thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Now that I'm listening to you guys and you're comparing the Bears now to the 2015 Cubs, I'll just sit back and wait a year or so till you guys get tired of Matt Nagy and want to see how many other guys will fit into the position and we can get rid of them.
Let's see how he handles his closer during the Super Bowl.
So you're saying...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
what are you saying, Bill? You're saying that the media is trying to run out Joe?
Some media, not all. Some media. Let's be honest.
I'm just curious. But I'm just curious. Did you notice that the team didn't give him a contract extension? Was that because of the media?
I understand that, but it came from both ends. I mean, the media and also the Cubs. Everybody turns on the successful guy. That is, his antics are too cute and everything else. You know, he's a rah-rah. He's got club dub and everything else. And I imagine in about another year and a half, if we take a downward turn for a year, that, you know, the calls will be for, well, maybe we should get rid of him and go for another guy.
Bill, I can assure you Theo is not listening to the media when he makes these decisions.
No, I don't believe so. Yeah, I will say this, Gordon, and I'm curious to get your opinion of it. I've never seen anyone end a 108-year drought, win a World Series. I really thought that doing that would mean that Joe's name was writ in hearts forever. And I had tons of friends who are Cub fans who came out of that World Series. Joe's reputation was damaged.
That's unbelievable.
By winning the World Series.
All those years, all those managers, just in the previous 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But it's true. It's accurate.
That's the thing. Yeah. I was there writing game 7. Do you have any idea what my lead might have been when we're looking at the 8th and 9th innings?
You had it already written, I'm sure, because you had to file immediately at that point.
Exactly. And it was, those decisions were rightfully called into question. And go back to game 6.
Thank God for a rain delay, huh?
And yet, he still was the right guy at the right time.
No doubt about it.
They don't get there without him.
Right. And he did it. He won.
And then, what is it, two years later, 2018, when they got bounced in one game in the postseason, I think he did his best managing of his time as a Cubs manager of those 4 years.
You thought that was his best season as a manager?
I thought it was a terrific season of actually managing day to day. He set a culture in 15. He was deserving of the Manager of the Year award, and I know that I don't like to give out that award anymore, but but he was deserving of it for what he brought at the right time to the right place. And that 15 season and the tone that he helped set had a direct bearing and led into what happened in 16. And none of that happens. It doesn't happen on the same timeline. It doesn't happen the same way without him. And then all that said, 2 years later, I think that was his best managing job.
312-644-6767. David's on the road. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I'm just curious, in your opinion, how long do you think it's going to be before Vic Fangio leaves to head coach a team?
I don't think he's going to. I honestly don't, David, and appreciate the phone call. And Vic is one of the guys that has been mentioned in Green Bay. It would make sense because it would create a culture. But, what we're seeing in the modern NFL are a lot of these younger offensive guys getting these jobs, and everybody wants the next tinkerer. And, as much as Vic has been very successful, he hasn't been a head coach yet.
I tried to do a cartwheel, but I couldn't.
Yeah, I think that Vic is very highly paid for the job that he does, and deservedly so. I don't think they're in the position they're in right now without him. I think they had, as we said earlier in this segment, they had a top 10 defense, and they added a premier future Hall of Fame pass rusher and a number one pick as a middle linebacker to an already really good defense. And the continuity that you gained by keeping Vic Fangio in place, he is co-head coach / defense. No offense to anyone. It's like co-president Cheney. You just have two people that are doing a very important job. And I do believe, Gordon, that when the final adding comes to play, that could affect whether or not Matt Nagy gets the Coach of the Year award, because the Bears they're built on defense. And that defensive coordinator is as important as anybody to their operation.
That's a great point. And I do think that there is sort of this, it's not just in football either, but this idea that you have these, as you call them, a co-head coach or this guy that manages this certain side of the game that is so important. And the organizations are so aware of the importance of that he winds up getting compensated well for it, too.
If Vic isn't the highest paid defense coordinator in the league, I'd be surprised. I think he's really makes a good amount of money. And you know what? Maybe you give him a bump at the end of this year to make sure he doesn't go to Green Bay. Right?
Nagy still wins the Coach of the Year.
You think so? I don't know. We'll ask Coach Wanstead next. What if San Diego ends up overtaking Kansas City down the stretch here? That's another one we don't spend much attention looking at, but could Anthony Lynn end up with that particular moniker? And we'll ask Dave. Dave, of course, carried Jimmy Johnson to some Super Bowls, how important that role of the defensive coordinator is and how important it is to have somebody else with a voice in the room, and how important – I mean, my God, you talk about special teams coordinators. There are a lot of people there are a lot of coaches on staffs and a lot of people that are hugely important. And, we haven't talked enough about Ed Donatell and what he's done with that secondary, or about Harry Hiestand and how that offensive line has played. I mean, you need those people in place in order to be able to win, and we'll talk about that with Coach Wannstedt. Next, it's Mully and Haw. He's Gordon Whitmire at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.